just
yeah. About 15 years ago, a movie came out. It's actually a movie I don't particularly recommend, but the premise of it is telling. The movie was called after the title character. It was named Lucy. And the premise is that over the course of the story, Lucy becomes able to access a larger and larger fraction of her brain power, actually utilize her whole mind. And this, you know, at first it just makes her unusually smart and able to make mental leaps and connections. But as the story progresses, her human brain starts to give her superhuman abilities. You know, she can tell what other people are thinking. She can move objects with her mind. And at the culmination, she actually somehow, through her physical brain, is able to transcend physical existence and leave her body and exist as pure intelligence. The underlying premise here is that were we as humans able to realize our full potential, we would actually become somehow more than human. That it's inherent in humanity is the longing and even the capacity to transcend humanity. And it's an idea that tends to resonate. A lot of our most popular stories, movies you may have heard of, they begin with a human character discovering that they are somehow more than human. The force is strong with you, Luke. You're a wizard, Harry. Wait, are you telling me that I can dodge bullets? No, Neo, I'm telling you that when you're ready, you won't have to. These stories, they resonate, they're so popular with us because they match up with that longing within us to become more. Or to say it in biblical terms, they echo the oldest human temptation. You will not surely die. You will become like gods. We as humans have this hunger to be more than human. The book of Ecclesiastes is a book of wisdom written either by King Solomon or from the perspective of King Solomon. It doesn't really matter for our purposes which one it was. But the point is that in ancient Israel, Solomon came closer than anybody to transcending his own humanity, to becoming somehow more than human. And his story begins with receiving the gift of wisdom. And through this gift of wisdom, Solomon is able to become superhuman, to violate his own rule that when human beings die, they are forgotten. We still remember Solomon on the other side of the earth 3,000 years later. But here's the thing. The biblical story of Solomon is not a tale of inspiration. The story of Solomon is a warning. It is a cautionary tale about the dangers of misusing wisdom in the pursuit of becoming more than human. What we're being told through Solomon's whole life story and through this text, Ecclesiastes 1, verses 12 to 18, is that wisdom is meant to make us more human, not more than human. We are given wisdom, the capacity to live well in the world, to exercise our human vocation. But when we seek through wisdom to become more than human, things fall apart. Listen to the text. I, the preacher, have been king over Israel in Jerusalem, and I applied my heart to seek and to search out by wisdom all that is done under heaven. It is an unhappy business that God has given to the children of man to be busy with. I have seen everything that is done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and a striving after wind. What is crooked cannot be made straight, and what is lacking cannot be counted. I said in my heart, I have acquired great wisdom, surpassing all who were over Jerusalem before me, and my heart has had great experience of wisdom and knowledge. And I applied my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceived that this also is but a striving after wind. For in much wisdom is much vexation. And he who increases knowledge increases sorrow. Solomon sought through wisdom to gain the superhuman ability to fix what was broken. The superhuman ability to see beyond the horizon. The superhuman ability to escape sorrow and vexation. And he failed every time. Because wisdom doesn't make us more than human. Wisdom makes us more human. That longing, that temptation to somehow become superheroes, to be transcendent, is just that, a temptation, a voice seeking to lead us astray, even through very good things like wisdom. So we see in verse 15 two of these ways that wisdom misused can lead us astray. The first being that while wisdom is good, it can't fix all that's broken. What is crooked cannot be made straight. Look, one reason we long to be more than human, one reason we'd like to have superpowers is that there's a lot that's wrong with the world. And it would be nice to be able to fix it. There's a lot that's crooked, and we long to straighten it out. And sometimes wisdom works in this direction. The wisdom of plant breeders like Norman Borlaug kept millions from starvation by creating wheat that could be grown more efficiently and provide more calories. Right? That's a good thing. Right? But even in the aftermath of that, the world is crooked, and Jesus' promise that the poor will be with us always holds true. Wisdom can help. But there are things that are crooked that can't be made straight. This recognizing that wisdom can't change the fundamental crookedness of the world, can't make us more than human, is essential to being human well. 4.5 years ago, two members of the church here, Aaron and Callie, moved to Latvia in order to work with young adults who have aged out of the orphan care system there. Right? And those of you who know Aaron and Callie know that they went already equipped with considerable wisdom, with experience that they had gained here in Oregon and in Latvia, what it is to work with orphans. And in the time since, they've grown further in wisdom. They've increased in their practical understanding of the spiritual and neurological and social and cultural dynamics of what it is to be a 20-year-old orphan in Riga, in Latvia. All of that is true, and they are not 1% closer to straightening out the underlying crookedness, to undoing the devastation caused by generational abuse and neglect, to installing a system of just and merciful laws. They're not even closer to drawing Christ-like compassion out of the larger church in Latvia. These are wise people seeking to do good work, and what is crooked cannot be made straight. It's tempting to think that maybe there's a fix. That if we really were wise enough, we could straighten things out. Right? We could make what's crooked for orphans in Latvia work well. We could repair the damage done by previous generations. Right? We could straighten out abuse in the church and abuse of the climate. We could repair somehow rampant divorce and racism. But it does not work that way. There is no wisdom that can make us more than human. And seeking it actually ends up making us less than human. The greatest atrocities caused in the last century were caused by people who presumed they could fix things, could repair what's broken. It happened on the right, with Nazis thinking they could straighten out what was crooked in the Weimar Republic. And it happened on the left, with Bolsheviks thinking they could straighten out what was crooked in Tsarist Russia. When we presume to have more than human wisdom, we don't become like gods. We become like devouring beasts. Or if we feel the pressure in the midst of our goodwill to have wisdom that leads to more than human effects, right? If Aaron and Callie go to Riga expecting to straighten out what's crooked, they will be crushed by the weight of their own superhuman expectations. This kind of more than human wisdom, tempting as it is, will debase us into some of the worst predators the world has known, or drive us over the brink of despair. Wisdom is good, but wisdom cannot make us more than human. It cannot enable us to fix all that's broken in the world. And treating it like it can causes far more harm than good. God gives us wisdom not to make us more than human, but to make us more human. And human beings from the very beginning are stewards. Not superheroes, stewards. Given good things to watch over and tend to care for and to cultivate. If Aaron and Callie have gone to Latvia, not to fix Latvia, but to steward the hearts and lives of a few orphans, submitting to that vocation in wisdom can make them more human. What have you been given to steward? And how can you steward it wisely? Unencumbered by the superhuman responsibility of straightening all that's crooked, and released to be simply human and steward what's been placed before you. So, wisdom is good, but it can't fix what's broken. It can't straighten out all that's crooked. But maybe that's not the power that wisdom is really made for. Maybe, like, wisdom is insight, right? It's seeing things that no one can see before you. Right? Maybe that's what wisdom really allows us to do. But that's the second half of verse 15. Right? Not only can wisdom not repair what's broken, wisdom also can't empower us to see beyond the horizon. Wisdom gives us clear human sight, not superhuman sight. What is crooked cannot be made straight, and what is lacking cannot be counted. Part of what it is to just be human is to want to see, want to understand, to seek wisdom. And this is a good thing. But that sight, that wisdom, has a limit. No matter how good your vision is, and hopefully for most of you it's much better than mine, you can't see over the horizon. You weren't made to. We're learning this scientifically, right? We see far more clearly the universe we occupy than we did 100 years ago. But one of the things that we see far more clearly is how little we can see. Right? So we learn from the modern science of astrophysics, from the hard constant of the speed of light and the law of the theory of relativity, that the vast majority of the universe, of creation, we will never visit, explore, or understand. That we, because of the limits on how far we can travel and how fast we can communicate, mathematically speaking, we are capable of exploring 0% of creation. We know this now. We see it clearly. That not only can we not know everything, we can't even know all that we don't know. It's true on the grandest scale, we're learning this scientifically, and it's true on the tiniest scale, and here I'm really off the edge of my understanding, but to the degree that I have learned about quantum mechanics, if you zoom in far enough on the smallest scale of creation, the subatomic level, all predictability breaks down. You cannot know what is going to happen, even in simple systems, even a few microseconds in the future. What is lacking cannot be counted. Wisdom helps us see more clearly, but it will never enable us to see over the horizon. This is what microscopes and telescopes do. They help us see clearly what's already within our field of vision, right? At a higher resolution. But they don't enable us to see over the horizon. Okay. This is probably the word that I most needed within this text, because my ideal superpower is super intelligence. Right? Like if you gave me a choice between being Captain America and having everybody be impressed with my biceps, and being Sherlock Holmes and having everybody be impressed with my brain power, the choice is elementary, Watson. Right. It's Holmes every time. I want superhuman insight. I want the horizon to be a hard limit for other people so that they can admire how much farther I see. Which makes me either a very good or a very bad pastor for a church in a university town where the whole culture wants to be Sherlock Holmes. Right? And we all think we're just one more publication from superhumanity. Right? But wisdom is not meant to make us more than human. It's not meant to help us see over the horizon. It's meant to teach us to see across the dinner table with greater clarity. Wisdom is not boldly knowing what no one has known before. Wisdom is knowing better than you've ever known before what's really going on in the heart and mind of your friend, your neighbor, your spouse or sibling. Wisdom won't let you see over the horizon, but it will let you see the people closest to you with eyes unclouded by agenda or anxiety. That's what wisdom is made for. Not to make us more than human, to make us more human. Who is God calling you to see wisely? Who is God asking you to attend to? Is this someone brand new that you just met? Is it someone you've known so long that you made the foolish mistake of assuming you've already seen them perfectly? Wisdom is a gift given to us to make us more human, to be able to see more clearly on a human scale, not to see over the horizon. So wisdom can make us stewards, but it can't give us the power to fix all that's broken. Wisdom can help us see one another more clearly, but it won't give us the power to see over the horizon. What about something a little simpler? If wisdom can't give us obvious superpowers of strength and intelligence, could it just make us happy? Right? Happiness would be a really practical superpower would it not? If we could just be wise enough to stop wasting time being neurotic and miserable, wouldn't that be great? I no longer know, it cannot be counted, the number of nights that I have lain awake stewing over crooked things I can't straighten out, and thinking as I'm lying awake, this is so dumb. I am accomplishing nothing by being awake and miserable now, except that I'm guaranteeing that I will be miserable when I'm awake later. Could I not possess the wisdom to just go to sleep, get the rest my body needs, and be a little happier? Couldn't wisdom at least give us that? The preacher says, no. Actually, it's the opposite. This is verse 18, the end of our text. For in much wisdom is much vexation. And he who increases knowledge increases sorrow. The preacher says it's not an accident that my 9-year-old self didn't have sleepless nights, but my 39-year-old self does. That having grown in clarity of sight and understanding actually leads to me being vexed and sorrowful. Because if I see the world clearly, then I am seeing more and more clearly the chasm between what the world is and what it's meant to be. Wisdom actually leads to vexation. There's a story in the Bible toward the end of the Old Testament where God's people were kicked out of Jerusalem, the city of God, and the city was destroyed, and they've been gone for generations, and they finally get to come back. And the young people are rejoicing. They're so happy, they're so excited to be back home. But the folks who are old enough to remember what the city used to be, they don't leap and sing for joy. They fall to their knees and weep because they can see the chasm between the ruin in front of them and the glory that once was. Wisdom actually leads to sorrow because it exposes the crookedness and the uncountable lack in the world. Right? Wisdom looks at your colleague who stays late at the office every night and doesn't just see somebody dedicated to his craft, but sees the cost, the hollowness left in his family by his absence, the corrosive anxiety working in his soul through the constant need to perform. Wisdom leads to sorrow. Wisdom walks by the middle school and sees a young girl standing by one of the little trees by herself in a hijab and isn't content to think, oh, isn't it nice to live in such a multicultural place? But sees clearly the grinding loneliness of being a stranger in a strange land, of learning strange customs in a strange tongue. If wisdom is the capacity to see clearly in this world, wisdom leads to vexation and wisdom leads to sorrow. Wisdom will not give you the frankly superhuman ability to be happy all the time. But wisdom will teach you to weep well. Are there wise tears you're being called to shed today? Tears that will make you not more than human, but more human. So wisdom can make us good stewards, but it can't fix what's broken. Wisdom can make us see clearly, but it can't enable us to see over the horizon. And wisdom can't make us happy, but it can teach us to weep well. All of which is to say, wisdom will never make you more than human. But wisdom can make you more human. Can make you more like Jesus. Jesus, who in his humanity was a good steward but didn't straighten out everything that was crooked. Right? Jesus did not look around at the inequality in the Roman province of Galilee and re-engineer the food distribution system, straighten out hunger. But he did take responsibility for the crowd that came to listen to him teach, had compassion on their empty stomachs, and gave them bread. Jesus, who in his humanity was wise beyond all wisdom we can comprehend, but actually didn't know everything, who said himself, "I can't see beyond the horizon of history. I don't know the hour on which I'm coming back." But Jesus did sit down at a well with a woman who had gone her whole life without ever really being seen, and see her clearly, and sit with her. Jesus, who in his humanity, far from being happy all the time, far from transcending sorrow and vexation, had the wisdom, approaching Jerusalem for the Passover feast, not to rejoice and sing and dance with everyone else, but to weep over a city that appeared prosperous, but was actually desperately poor of spirit. This is what it is to be human. This is what wisdom can give us. Jesus was wiser than we'll ever be, wiser even than Solomon, and in his wisdom, he did not grasp for superhuman greatness, but submitted to the good limits of being human. Twice in our passage here, the preacher says that trying to make wisdom your superpower is like striving after the wind. You can't catch it, and if you did, what would you do with it? It's grasping for the ungraspable. It's a life of endless frustration, the vanity of vanities. The unspoken point is, wind does not have to be grasped in order to be a gift. You don't have to master the winds for them to fill your sails and propel you wisely across the waves of life. A hurricane of wisdom won't make us more than human. But even the gentlest breeze can teach us to be more human in the beautiful, limited way of Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the gift of being human, for the gift of wisdom. Help us to receive it for what it is, to take whatever wisdom you choose to give us, and not grasp for more, but give thanks. And walk as wisely as we can in the way you've shown us, in the way of Jesus. Amen. Tim's going to come up and lead us in the next element of our worship.